Blog Talk Radio.
When I would do good, evil is always present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. I'm ready for the fight of my life. Start the record.
Welcome to the Abundant Solutions Hour, where we help others be more, do more, and have more. I'm your host, Brian J. Henderson, and Greg will be with us shortly. You know, it's amazing. We just had a historic occurrence yesterday, and I'm still kind of in shock of how historic that day was. You know, and Greg and I, we talked a lot, you know, during the day outside of the show, and I can tell you that, you know, he's probably just as amazed as I am. Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. I was just talking to our listeners, and I was saying how amazed I was at, you know, the historic occurrence that occurred yesterday when folks went out to vote.
Right.
You know, and I told him I was sort of still in shock at the outcomes.
Well, tell him just don't be worried. We have a powerful guest tonight, powerful lineup of guests we have. So whatever they're going through, Brian, they'll forget about it after they hear tonight's show. So we're just excited to have these wonderful, wonderful, talented, and blessed authors that we have on the show, and I'm just excited about them. We just spoke with a young lady. She's excited. She's here. The lines are lit up already. So let's go ahead, Brian. Let's try to bring her in.
Yes, and, you know, I wanted to say, every week we've been talking about Haiti and about the struggle that that nation has been going through. And now, you know, lo and behold, the one thing that we all dreaded has occurred. There's a hurricane, and it's headed straight for that nation. You know, in addition to all the devastation from the earthquake, now they have outbreaks of cholera. And, you know, now they're faced with, you know, the plight of a devastating hurricane. You know, I just want to ask our listeners to please be in prayer for the nation of Haiti as they go through yet another issue. You know, we've talked in the past about sending in finances. You know, what they need now, money can't buy. Money can't pay for it. They need our prayers. You know, but Greg, yes, we got a great lineup tonight. The title of the show tonight is called Home Again. And when I tell you, you guys are going to be excited to listen to our four guests that we have tonight. And, Greg, like you said, let's bring them in. Let's go ahead and introduce each one of them. And I'm going to start off by introducing Maurice Gray. He's been on the show with us in the past. And so I'm going to start off with him because, you know, he's a good friend of this show. And he's a dynamic author, editor, counselor, speaker, and comedian. And brother wears many hats, and he wears them all well. He's the author of two novels, one being To Whom Much Is Given, and the second, All Things Work Together. And he's also a contributor to three anthologies, Blessed Assurance, The Soul of a Man, and Home Again, which is scheduled to be released. Actually, it released on November 1st. He's also edited several books, including Ocean View by Fred Gaines, Butterfly Wings by Reverend Sherelle McNeil, and Then Some by Teresa Leaf, and most recently, Business Unusual by Dr. Linda B. Our second guest is Dijon Moss, who holds a degree in English from San Jose State. He's the author of My Father's House, which is available in stores now, and The Retreat, which will be released in December of 2010, and he currently resides in Long Beach, California, with his wife, Teresa. Then we have Jeanette Jones, who began writing at the age of 7 when she was deeply moved by the historic movie Roots. Good movie, by the way. She immediately retreated to a quiet place to attempt her very own emotional story about a slave girl desperately seeking freedom. After proudly presenting the 14-page booklet to her mother, she knew then she'd always write. As Shanette grew into her other leading passions, music and dance, being my passion, music, she knew that writing would unfortunately take a backseat in her life. She continued writing clubs, poetry groups, newspaper staffs, whenever she had the time, but reserved most of her writing for personal enjoyment. Wow. You know, that's a secret passion of mine. I like writing stuff down, and so I do that a lot. You know, I want to talk about our last guest, and last but not least, it's Wanda B. Campbell, who's an extraordinary and talented writer who brings creativity, a new sense of hope, and restoration through the healing power of God to the kingdom by the way of Christian fiction. She uses real-life, everyday issues to exhort, motivate, and give comfort. Currently, Wanda has published 3 novels, First Sunday in October, Illusions, and Right Package, Wrong Baggage. Her 4th novel, Silver Lining, is scheduled for release on August 2011. She is also the founder of Micah 6-8 Books, LLC, and she's also been a guest on our show in the past. We welcome all of you, I'll take a breath now, to the Abundant Solutions Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marsh, Mr. Gray, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, all right.
Wanda
in? Wanda B. Campbell?
Yes, I am. I'm
okay.
Here.
Mr. Moss? What about Mr.
Yes,
Moss?
I am. I'm
okay,
I'm here.
So we have everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
So, real quick.
Wow.
Before we get started, my wife's name is Trania. I definitely don't want any problems. It's not Trania. So I have one wife.
I like this brother already.
Yeah. She's like
wife,
Teresa. Like, oh, whoa. No, she's not. But that does not mean that, you know, she's not a. She's not listening, or people who know of our marriage is not. So, yeah, before it gets put all over cyberspace.
Okay, no, I wanted, if she was on the call, I just wanted to make sure that we open the mic up, that's all.
Oh, no.
This sounds like this lineup tonight sounds like an Oprah Winfrey show.
Okay.
We're talking about.
I appreciate how the brother said, "Wait, let's get this thing right now."
Yeah, let's just get
mad.
Yeah.
And you have to
forgive me.
Normally I don't have that large of an introduction. You know, I go about maybe 30 seconds to a minute. I think that was like a 4-minute introduction there. So
yeah, that's a blessing. That's a blessing.
I want to ask a question, but I want to start off with Ms. Jones. I want her to start this off. Home Again. Wow, this is serious. We're talking about relationships. When you were given your part to write in this book, Ms. Jones, and I want everybody to go down the line and talk about their part, what they thought when they were first confronted with this. What did you think? Did you struggle writing it, or did it just come easy for you?
Well, I think that writing this story came pretty easy for me because it's a story that I'd already previously been working on when I was approached about it, about the book. And it was easy in the beginning. It did get more and more difficult as I had to dig into the details of it all. This story for me is personal, because my husband and I have personally gone through some of the details. Not all, but it was inspired by some of our own struggles and things that we've come through victoriously. So that's where it got difficult, having to be honest and frank and find that restoration.
Wow, okay. Mr. Gray?
For me, at first it was kind of difficult because at first I was thinking, oh, man, I don't have time for this. But really, it wasn't so much that I didn't have time for it. It was challenging to me. Like, restore relationships. I mean, I've written about relationships in my other books, but this one, I'm thinking, how do I put something back together. I mean, I didn't even know where to start at first, but then it just started flowing to me. God gave me something. I was like, I need something for this. The deadline was sneaking up. I'm like, I've got to come up with something. I don't want Wanda mad at me, but I don't know what I'm going to write.
Oh, come on.
But it came to me, though.
Oh, okay. Mr. Maul?
For me, the challenge whenever I write a story, especially with the topic, it's always how can I tell a story that is different and stands on its own? Because with Home Again and with the theme being restore relationships, you already know that it's going to speak to some people. It's going to speak to a lot of people, and it's going to minister to a lot of people. The question is, how can you present a story that has an independent perspective that will allow the person to stay engaged and not person say, okay, I've read this story like 20 million times already. So for me, I was excited to do the project, but where my challenge came was, how do I approach a restoration of relationship that is not something that you see every day?
Oh, okay. Awesome. Ms. Campbell?
Well, my whole concept, as I said before, I'm very transparent. I looked at my own life and all the broken relationships I had and how our home life was just so messed up and all the drama and things that I went through, and I wanted to write something and also put a collection together that wasn't just stuck on male and female relationships, because there's many relationships. And so I wanted something that spoke to every relationship out there, because everybody has a broken relationship of some type, whether it's a friend or a sibling or a parent or even your pastor and member. So I wanted to minister to those who had broken relationships and then offer them some hope of reconciliation.
Wow. You know, I think that's so important. That you would come up with an idea, a concept like that, you know, and just the idea of not focusing on like that male female type relationship, you know, because there are other relationships that are built, friendships that are built, and you know, consequently broken, and many people don't know how to deal with, you know, fixing, mending, you know, relating to those type of relationships. You know, some people may be good at, you know, mending, you know, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, but they may be terrible at telling somebody how to relate to or how to deal with, you know, let's say you and your pastor have a disagreement. You know, so I think that's really good that, you know, that you had the foresight to do something like this. You know, let me ask this question. Now, you said that, and many of you all said that the book was kind of difficult to write, you know, because you had to dig down deep into those, you know, personal feelings. How did it feel once you put it on paper? And I'll start with Mr. Gray.
Once I got the story out, it felt kind of liberating. So I had to really put myself in the shoes of the relationship I was talking about. It's when I didn't have any personal experience with it. I really had to think, well, what if this had happened? I had to go from there. And once I got it out, I'm like, you know, this could help somebody. Because I do know some people who are going through situations like the one I wrote about. So I was really trying to put myself in some shoes that I really hadn't walked in, and it felt good to get that out.
And then, Ms. Campbell?
Well, my story is about twin sisters. And I don't have a twin sister, and I don't have any personal experience with this type of betrayal by a sister. So like Maurice said, you know, when we write, we become our characters. So I felt their pain. I felt the hurt and the betrayal and all of that. And when I was done, it was cleansing. I mean, I was writing the last scene. It was just like such a relief because it was restored, and it was just a heavy weight that was lifted.
And Mr. Moss?
For me, I really enjoyed and had a lot of fun writing the story, and I knew that the story would definitely inspire and touch people, because some of the greatest stories of all time and some of the greatest films of all times are ones that involve a fighter and how you could see that whatever this fighter is going through in the ring, it also translates to what they're fighting for outside, and people can relate to that. So for me, it was very ministering because it just reminds you that life is a fight. Every day, this faith walk, every day, this journey through life, you have to get up and be prepared to fight in order to advance, in order to move, in order to have the things that you desire out of life. So for me, it was just exciting because it was just reminding me, you know, that to be victorious in this life is you just got to keep getting up and answering the call.
And last but not least, Ms. Jones.
Well, as a first-time published author, words cannot express the joy I experienced when I could finally see this work come to an end and be put into a book, and especially the joy I felt seeing the restoration happen at the end for my characters, because the characters experienced so much rejection and loss of self-worth. So to see my main character find her self-value in God and find her love again with her spouse, it was a release for me. Just like Wanda said, a cleanse at the end, just to feel relieved totally, as if you yourself were going through every single detail of the story. So it was a great joy to finally see the end of it.
Awesome. Did you get Ms. Campbell, boy?
Yes, I got everybody.
Okay. My question, and you guys can jump in however you want. When you're dealing with relationships, and so many people are going through, they're breaking up, they're doing, I mean, it's just always something going on out there. How important is having faith? What is the thing about faith that's so important for every relationship that they should have that?
Okay.
You want to go, Bjorn, or you want me to start?
Oh, Wanda, you're the leader. Ladies first.
Well, you know what? I think faith is really the primary ingredient, because we need to first find out, is this a relationship I should be in? And a lot of times we don't do that before we get in it. So if we do that first, is this a relationship that I'm supposed to be in, or what is my role in this relationship? What is this person's role in my life? Are they here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime? And once we have that answer from God, then that helps us stay in the relationship or get out when it's time to get out. Sometimes we're just in stuff and we stay in too long, or we go in a relationship that God never intended in the beginning. So I think your faith is primary.
And to piggyback off what Wanda is saying, I think in a relationship, everything comes back to faith. Whether it's a relationship, the one of the on the intimacy level, or one that deals with families, there's always a point where you come back to your faith and your belief. Do you believe that you and this person can overcome whatever obstacle is standing in front of you? Do you believe that you guys can get back to the place where things, where the relationship is whole and things are working? So everything comes back to faith. It comes back to the belief. You don't know it. You can't see the end. You go by what you believe and what you believe in your heart to be true.
Yeah, I can piggyback off of what Dion just said. There's a lot of piggybacking going on here. But faith is, I said, faith is the foundation of every kind of relationship. In my particular story, it's a rift between a mother and a son. And that's nothing I've ever personally experienced, but when I was thinking about that and trying to put myself in that position, if I had ever been estranged from my mother for any reason, like how would I even get back? How would I get to a point of wanting to get back? And only thing that made sense to me was that would take a lot of faith. If you didn't have a faith relationship, it would be extremely difficult to get some healing in such a basic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to add
that.
Want to
piggyback?
I'll piggyback. I'll piggyback on that and say that I know for my story, the characters had to come to what they call the faith decision. A lot of people have come up to me and said, well, didn't seem like it was a miraculous thing that God came and worked out their marriage in the end. Well, God was there, and he did work out the marriage in the end. However, they had to make a faith decision. Will they choose to trust the Lord and go on with this marriage, or will they just let it fall to pieces? And it wasn't something that they were waiting on God to drop out of the sky. It was something that they had to act on in their faith. And so I think, as all the other authors have said, it has to come back to your foundation, and your foundation eventually is going to fall on faith.
You know, I want to comment on, but my comment is more like a question. Why is it, you know, because, Ms. Campbell, you said it, I think you said it best. We never go and ask God about that relationship when we get in it. It's always, oh, Lord, why did, you know, Lord,
after
can you help
fact.
Me get out of it?
Yeah.
And it's never that, oh, Lord, you know, guide me through it or guide me into it, you know, or guide me away from it if it's not good for me. You know, I think that we'd be a whole lot better off if we were guided into these types of relationships, friendships, what have you, by saying, God, is this right for me? You know, and so, Ms. Campbell, I think you're absolutely on point with that, you know. But, again, my question is, why do we do this? Why do we not ask God for that type of direction?
Because we become creatures. Is that, like, open to everyone to
yeah.
jump in, or is it, okay. So I don't want to be out of line. It's because we become creatures of coincidence and mystics where, oh, this person seems to have the same favorite scripture I have. Oh, God's hand must be in that. Oh, this person
right.
seems that this person and I went to the same church and we never even knew, and then all of a sudden we see each other. We look for the little things that seem to magically line up like a fairy tale and never really confront God to begin with. And we don't realize that the devil and the enemy can use little tricks like that to get you caught up, and next thing you know, several months or several years, you find yourself in a mess. We become creatures of what is coincidental, what fits our fantasies and what fits our desires to want to have this storybook type relationship, and we skip the whole process of trying to follow God to begin with. And as I've heard it said, God doesn't follow anyone.
I like that.
And you know, sometimes we do ask God, and, you know, we ask for that friend or that relationship, and then someone comes along and it looks right. So we
mm-hmm.
don't go back and ask again and say, okay, is this the right one? But because we ask, we feel it's okay because, you know, I prayed about it and here comes this person. So sometimes we do ask, and a lot of times, like Dion said, you know, if it feels good to us, I mean, who calls on God unless they're in trouble, right? So, you know, so I mean, even though the word tells us to always acknowledge him in all our ways, but seriously, and when we put those things into practice, how many people can honestly say, I acknowledge God about everything before I get into it? That answer is very slim. So we're just, a lot of times, to be honest, our flesh or our emotions really rule us.
I totally agree with Wanda. I have personally, in my own past, avoided asking God for anything when I knew it was something I wanted because I was too afraid that it was going to be against my will, not his will. And so I think we just have to be honest with ourselves. And a lot of us, like she's saying, we don't want to know what he thinks. We don't want to know what his will is. We want to do it our way, have what we want, and then run back when things fall apart.
Yeah. I can agree more. I mean, that even kind of plays out my story a little bit. I've got a son and a mother, both of them acting strong-headed, and knowing
mm-hmm.
they need to make up with each other, knowing that disagreement was silly. And neither one of them took that to God because they were afraid that God would say what they knew they were supposed to be doing in the first place. Put this foolishness aside and start talking. Instead of talking at each other, start talking to each other and listening. It's real easy to do that. I've done that myself. various situations. Not one, is it? Knowing good and well, I need to seek God about this. And like, you know what? I'm not going to, because I know what God's going to say, and I'm not ready to hear it.
Maurice's story is a good example of how the enemy takes good things and make them bad things. Because what the young man's mother was doing was a good thing.
She was taking in children who needed it,
and
extra attention that she was giving to them.
Yeah. So, but she took that. The enemy took that good thing and made it a bad thing because she neglected her own child.
Right.
Well, let me ask this question. I have a lot of people on Facebook sending me questions to ask you guys, and they're loving you. Let me start it with Ms. Jones and everybody else. Just fall in place and answer however you want. But right now, there's a lot of women we know want to get married. But what is so hard about couples today that they really don't get to know each other? Why does everybody try to do the microwave relationship and not take the time to get to know one another? What? Why is everybody moving so fast? Is my question.
Come on, what show is this?
Okay, how long the show is this?
Juan, is this a 12-part thing?
I think everyone is in a rush. Again, going back to that last question. Not wanting to consult with God. I think everyone is ready to have a perfect life, and they think that marriage is going to be the answer sometimes. So you have single women running the conferences left and right and trying to figure out how they can no longer be single and get a man and get married and start a family, but they don't really go to the Lord and see what God has in store for their life in that state of being single. And you're right, it is microwave. Everything right now is microwave. So relationships are kiss on the first date, do more on the second date, and you're married in a week, and then you're back begging God for healing and mercy and all of that. And these are the saints. I mean, the Christian women are unfortunately a little extra desperate than it seemed we used to be, that we're doing all kinds of things to be noticed and get attention. And it's ridiculous, but I believe that we could really take a note from this Home Again book and realize that it's not worth having to go through all the struggles of restoring a relationship than just to sit back and let that relationship build in a healthy manner. And so you don't have to deal with what this story is about, and that's piecing all these things back together in the end.
Yeah.
Now, I'm for one, I don't think there is a set time that you need to get to know each other. You know, you got to be okay to 90 days, 6 months. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is people don't intrigue God and see who their mate is. I think they look at the outer. I mean, once God shows you your mate, then the next question is, okay, what is the timing?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times people just go, because God could say, yeah, that's your mate. I know people who got married within 90 days and been married for years and been happy. So to me, it's not a set time. But the issue is this the one for me? And the only one that knows that is God. But people aren't talking to God like that, because a lot of times their hearts are already involved, and God mm-hmm. could be saying no. Everybody in your family, your inner circle, your outer circle could be telling you to run, but your heart is in it. You're not hearing that. So, and you're not going to hear God. You're going to justify it. So I think it goes back again. We really have to start living Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And seeing what is the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. And when he say, yeah, that's him or that's her, okay, now, Lord, what's the time?
Because
you can marry the right person at the wrong time.
Yeah. And
wow.
I think people, and what Wanda hit on and what Jeanette has hit on is so true, is that a lot of Christians and a lot of believers have a fundamental problem. The problem is God is to change our lives and to work and transform us to his plan, not for us to bring our plan and say, God, this is who I want to marry and stuff, so why don't you go ahead and, you know, work everything out
for me to be with this person. And, you know, though this person may not be good for me, they got this issue, that issue going on. You can do all things. So just go ahead and work that out and get back to me because I'm going to be shopping for a dress. and that's what the problem is. It's like no, you accepted Jesus in your life because your plans and how you saw things and how you processed things and everything was fundamentally off. And you're going to God, the source, who knows you, who knew you before you was even conceived, to say, God, I want to do things your way, your time. And that's the fundamental problem. It goes back to God does not follow you.
Yeah, that's true. I see it a lot. Just in my day job, and I'm doing counseling. I do HIV counseling. And I see countless examples of people, many of whom say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Then the next breath, when I get to the point, okay, well, what kind of risk have you had so you could have potentially contracted this thing? And then they're rolling off a list. I'm like, oh, man, I know people who aren't saved that don't do that much. What's the problem with this? This is what happens when you run in front of God, just like you would say. You lay out your plan. Say, well, God, go ahead and fix him up, and then I'll take it. Or fix her up, and I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is the people sitting across from me broken. Hoping they didn't check something. And they're like, okay, let's get back to the basics here. So I definitely agree with you and laid it out just like I see every day on the job. People not waiting to hear what God has to say, but running ahead of them, wanting God to be in their life, but just as an advisor. Not as bad as her.
Go ahead, God. Finalize that divorce. So that person can marry me.
You know what's sort of funny and sad about what Mr. Gray is saying? That rings true everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. I mean, he wouldn't be surprised because he knows. You know, Greg and I have done HIV counseling and testing in the past as well. And, you know, I could go down the gambit of folks, you know, that say, that identify with certain things that they, oh, well, I've never done this. Oh, but yeah, but, you know, I did do this. Oh, well, you know, I did do that. And it's like, okay, you told me in the first sentence that you never had sex before. But then in the second sentence you said, well, I had oral sex and I had all the other sexes, but that's not considered sex, right?
Yep.
You know, and it's like, well, yeah, that's all. It's a reason why it says sex at the end of the word. You know?
Exactly. There's no loophole in this. That counts, okay?
You know, yeah. If it says that it's up, it's not because it's not up. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, but you're absolutely right. You know, and I think that also rings true in just relationships, period.
Mm-hmm.
Certain
mm-hmm.
things that people will say that, you know, they have a boundary or a limit of, oh, I'll never do that, or I'll never say that, or I'll never have to entertain that idea or that concept. But then when confronted with it, they succumb to it because they haven't been fully prepared to say no, you know, or fully prepared to say, you know, to do what they're saying they'll do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of the person that says, I want to fly a kite, but they've never actually seen someone fly one, or they've never actually, like, you know, used string before. But they say, oh, no, I'm fly a kite. I'm going to fly a kite tomorrow. You know, and then when they're presented with the string, they say, what do I do with this? When, you know, he said, well, there's a kite attached to it. Yeah, but what do I do with it? I don't know what to do with it. You know, instead of saying, teach me what to do, they just say, I don't know. You know, and they go through life thinking that, hey, this is how you fly a kite. You just hold a string because somebody handed me the string. You know? But let me ask this question. We've done this with just about every author, and I know that one of our authors has already pretty much told us how she was inspired by writing. So, Ms. Jones, we'll skip you on this one. We already know that you were inspired by the movie Roots. But for everyone else, can you tell us what inspired you to write?
But my mother was an English teacher. She taught me young how to enjoy reading. And for me, that kind of rolled right into a love of writing. I can remember as far back as third, fourth grade, being that one kid in the class who actually liked writing book reports. So from that, as I kept reading more stuff, and I kept wanting to say, well, I can do that. I like these books. Let's see what I can do with it. But I really didn't try writing any stories on this level until I got out of college. So I'm thinking, you know what, I can do this. Let me just start. I had this idea. The next thing I know, I'm writing on this one little idea. I'm thinking it's going to be a short story. Next thing you know, it's a novel. It took a while for me to get it from point A to point B, but I think the one thing that really pushed me over the hump with it, where I was trying to give up on it, I read a book called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti.
Mm.
It kind of validated what I was doing. I didn't even know there was such a thing as Christian fiction at the time I was writing. I just knew I was writing, and I knew I wanted to do this from a Christian perspective, but I didn't know if there was a market for it. And then I read that book, and that just inspired me to keep going and not try to write exactly like Frank Peretti, but just to keep doing what I'm doing, knowing that there actually is a market for it. Mm. That's what did it for me.
For me, it always goes back to an English teacher I had who one day I sat down and read the poem A Negro Speak of Rivers by Langston Hughes. And then I read Edgar Allan Poe's Annabelle Lee. And after that, I just knew there was nothing else I wanted to do, because the way those two authors took words and string them together to create images and create emotions and really move you and really tell you a story and tell you what they think about life, that just inspired me. And then a few years ago, what really inspired me to just write real serious as far as get into writing fiction novels was the... I'm forgetting about the movie. It was the white version of Ray. Walk the Line. And in the scene, there was a producer that asked Johnny Cash if he had one story to tell to let God know and let everyone know how he felt about life, what would that story be? Well, what the song? And I take that as, for me as a writer, if I have one story to tell, or if I only have one more story to write, to let God and let everyone in the world know what I feel about Christianity, what I feel about the state of human beings, and so much more, what would that story be? And that's what inspires me, and that's what moves me.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. That's awesome. Wanda.
Yes.
And for everyone, where do you want, or what do you want to happen with Home Again? Where do you want Home Again to take you?
To take me as a writer or the readers?
Meaning, what do you want to happen with Home Again? Do you see it, or are you thinking it should turn into a movie or something, some future type thing with all of you guys doing maybe seminars, workshops, or something like that, where you're able to talk with people that are young writers or college students or someone that wants to write books, or people that are having problems with relationships that can probably talk with you guys one-on-one?
Well, you know, I'm really hoping that Home Again is really just the beginning. This is just the first volume. And I'm hoping that Home Again would really open the dialogue on individual levels, as well as in the ministry aspect of it, in small groups or even large groups, to get people to really talking about those relationships that have hurt them that they never gotten over, and that those relationships that caused them to make decisions today that may be holding them back, to really get free from them. I'm really hoping that churches would even take it as a study guide to read these stories and see, you know, how do I deal with when the person close to me, the one I shared the womb with, when she betrays me, how do I get over that? How do I deal with my own personal life? Both of my primary relationships with my parents, my father was not existent, and my mother was dysfunctional because she didn't want any kids. She just had five. But so I my whole family life was dysfunctional. So how do you get over not having that validation as a kid? How do you let go of those things so you don't continue to hurt other people as you go and then put that on your own kids? So I had to live through that. And when I was living through it, people weren't talking about it. I was in the church. People knew about my situation. They knew the home life, but they didn't talk about it. Instead, they just told me I was mean. I need to stop being so mean and be a little softer. But nobody actually helped me work to get through those issues so I could be softer. So I'm hoping Home Again would open that dialogue and help people walk through the steps of forgiveness and where those walls have been built up, that they can start coming down where people will want to restore relationships. Because the bottom line is, these broken relationships, we love these people. If we didn't, it wouldn't hurt us. If we didn't care, we could just move on. But we love these people. So how can we get past this and love like Christ loved?
Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, you said a word right there.
Mm-hmm. It's offering time.
Okay.
What do you want to do? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, because I think that what she said was so important about people knowing what's going on but not offering any real substance mm-hmm. to help that person get through or get past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, like, for our show, this is really the cornerstone of why we do our show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, you hear, and you'll hear us say this, we like to help others be more, do more, and have more. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a concept that Greg came up with a long time ago, and, you know, it still rings true. You know, if I can help you get better, do better, and have a little bit more than what you have right now, then I've accomplished my goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, really what we're here for. We're not really here for us. You know, now I look back, my childhood and my life, this was really getting me to here, to reach out
right.
to somebody else. So,
right.
you know, it didn't feel good that didn't nobody reach out to me, but yet it put a burden in me to reach out to other people that I see coming along. So it wasn't about me, even though I felt it. It really wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Moss?
What I hope for with Home Again is that Home Again, and with any project, is that it will have the effect that books have had on me, because books are extremely powerful, and they can change lives, and they have changed lives. And it's an enduring art, and the reason why is because the writer makes a partnership and, in so many ways, a covenant with the reader. And with this anthology, the reader gets to go on a journey through different families that you may be able to recognize their situations, or maybe their situations are foreign to you. And we partner together to take you on a journey to let you know that God is in the business of restoring relationships, and that no matter how strained or estranged a relationship is, there's always a way, if you are willing, if you have faith, for the doors to open up and for the road to lead where you can be restored. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, as far as sales, or as far as what was asked about movie deals and things, that's the easy part. The biggest challenge is for us as writers to write the stories that really convey what God wanted to convey. And we've done that successfully. I know God is pleased. I know that lives will be touched with that project. So that's what my hope is for Home Again.
Awesome. Mr. Gray?
Yeah, I just want to see this book touch people. I mean, it's easy to get caught up and say, I hope it sells this many copies, and I hope that every time we have events that it goes like this or like this or like this. But the one thing that we were talking about, like last time we had a conference call, not too long ago actually, we were just discussing the whole ministry aspect of it. And one of us brought up the point that whether we're ready for this or not, we're going to have to be prepared to minister to some at some point. There are going to be readers who might come up to us and say, I have a situation, something like this. So if we have to be ready to either step up to the plate, or if we know full and well, God is telling us we're not prepared for this, make sure to get that person to somebody who can help them. If you can't just turn somebody away who's saying, you still really ministered to me. So if we know we're equipped to help them, we can't shy away from it, And if we know we're not, I know for a minute it was something that I know I wasn't equipped to handle, but say, for example, I knew Wanda was perfectly equipped to handle it, I would call Wanda over in a minute and say, I don't want this person to go unministered to. So what I'm really hoping for is that we don't miss opportunities when these stories do touch people. Well, I'm pretty sure they will. I'm hoping that we don't back away when we have an opportunity to really help somebody. Sometimes it doesn't take like a huge ministry effort of preaching our sermon to them. All it takes is listening sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's what these stories can do. It can get people willing to talk about something that they might not have been willing to talk about with anyone before. Sometimes that can be just as liberating as if they did get a word from you.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's so true. Ms. Jones?
You know, I have a family member who I shared this with the group the other night, a man in my family who never reads, never, ever reads, and this is a big deal. He makes it plain and clear that he doesn't care to read. So when, of course, he's going to read it because he's family, when he reads this book, he calls and goes on and on about each story, that he'd read the entire thing before I could even finish the book. And he was so moved by the stories because as a young man growing up, he has so many multiple broken relationships that to this day have not been restored. So I think that I think that's what I'm after. I think that's what we're all after. We're after that person who the preacher didn't get to him, the message didn't get to him, a friend didn't get through to him. But this story meets them right where they are, and these stories will bring some kind of healing. Because whether he ever has that opportunity to go to the people that have hurt him, he now has been shown hope. And so I think that's what I want more than anything. I just want this book to get into the hands of people who need to read it and who need to know that there is a God who still loves them. There is a God who wants to restore and heal them, and that he can do it whether they ever see that person again. That he can do it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Brian?
Yeah, I was going to say, so what's up next for, I'll start out with Ms. Campbell. What's up next for you?
Well, right now I'm busy with my latest release, Right Package, Wrong Baggage. And I'm also preparing for my next release in August, Silver Lining.
Wow.
And I'm also working on the manuscript for 2012. So I'm pretty busy. I will probably spend most of the winter writing again. And I'm starting to tour as well after next week. This weekend, for those of you who are in Northern California, we're having the Home Again book launch, actually Saturday in Richmond, California, at the Courtyard Marriott. So feel free to come on down or tell a friend to come by. And so it's really, I'm just really open to see how God is going to work, where he's going to send us. My prayer is that he sends each of us, because we're all over the country, send each of us out strategically to minister to people. Yeah. Oh, somebody got a baby.
That's my son, Caleb.
He's getting his cameo.
He wants everybody to go out and buy like 5 copies of, help with his future college fund, huh? Don't you, Caleb?
Can't say I would argue with that, my brother. Well, and since Caleb has chimed in, what's up next for you, sir?
I have The Retreat coming out, and my second novel, The Retreat, coming out in December next month. I'm very excited. It's a story that deals with 4 men who, under normal circumstances, would not know each other, and they get together for a weekend's men's retreat, and you find out what happens when men get together and go to a men's retreat. So I'm very excited for Home Again and for The Retreat. It's an exciting time for me as a writer, and I'm just very thankful.
Wow. That sounds like that's going to be a good book.
Oh, you're going to go on a wild ride. prepare to laugh, prepare to think, prepare to even be moved to tears. So I'm very excited.
Wow. All right. Mr. Gray.
Okay, well, actually my story in Home Again, it kind of leads into my next novel. I'm hoping to release Female Problems next April. Maybe I've had to push it back a couple of times. The Female Problems is going to be my third novel. And actually, in some ways, it's similar to Dionne's book. It's about three men. They become friends. It's just watching them deal with how they deal with their relationships, with their work issues, with all the stuff that concerns us as men, and how their friendship is making everything easier for them to deal with, even though each of them is dealing with some very difficult circumstances. My character from my story in Home Again, which is called Family Matters, my lead character, the son in that one, is named Eric. Eric is pretty much the lead character in Female Problems. And he's going through a lot. I mean, in Family Matters, he's going through a horrible car accident. When you see him in Female Problems, you pick up where how he's dealing with life after healing. That can be difficult sometimes, and it's becoming easier for him to get back out there and get back into life by meeting these two brothers that he never might have encountered otherwise. Even the way they meet, it's a God thing. So the book is dealing with their friendship, their ups and their downs, and how they help each other just get through this thing we call life and laugh about it in the process.
Mm. All right, and last but not least, Ms. Jones.
I'm hoping to present the full novel of my story, Uncovered. Right now, I'm almost through with it, and I'll probably slide it to Wanda and let her tell me if it's garbage or if it's secret.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine.
Or if it's a good one, and we'll see what she says and go from there. But it's a great story. I think my biggest frustration was having to push it down into a little story when I had already created a pretty big story out of it. So I'm really looking forward to letting readers go through the entire ordeal and come out at the end with joy and hope.
Yes. Now, if you could, Jeanette, we're going to go back through really quick and have everybody, Jeanette, I'm sorry, I didn't say Jeanette. We really want everybody to give out their information, contact information on how they can get in contact with you as far as speaking engagement, book signings, anything. If you would, just give out your contact information. We'll start out with Jeanette.
My website is JeanetteJones.com, and I'm also on Facebook, Jeanette Jones.
Okay. Wanda?
My website is WandaBCampbell.net, and I'm also on Facebook, and you can also reach me at Micah68Books.com as well. And I love to get emails at WBCampbell at Prodigy.net.
Okay. DeJoin?
My website is DeJoinMoss.webs.com. I'm available on Facebook as well. And, you know, I don't know how you do the whole little Facebook thing, but you can reach me on Facebook, you know, /Facebook. Or if you type in my name, I'm sure I'm probably the only person that's going to come up. So, that's how you can get in contact with me.
Mr. Gray?
My website is Maurice M. Gray Jr., J-R, not spelled out, .com. I'm also on Facebook. Just put Maurice Gray in there. There's not too many of us going to pop up, so you can find me there. And my email is writevision2000@yahoo.com.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes left into the show. Did anybody have any last-minute words or something inspirational that they will say or something encouraging for some of our listeners out there that may be going through?
Wanda?
Oh, come on. Here. Y'all just throw me under the train all the time, huh?
It's fun.
Well, you know, I just really, my real passion is to see people whole and to not suffer.
so if I could say anything encouraging, it would be to really have the courage, because we all know we need to work on some things, but sometimes we just lack the courage to do it. But have the courage to take that first step to be made whole, to come out of that bondage, and just really trust God. I mean, I wish there was another answer I could tell you, but really you just can't do it without God. And it, when you hear what he says, to have the courage to obey him.
I know my brother, Mr. Gray, has something. I know.
Yeah,
keep it working.
Yeah, I definitely know. Well, I definitely agree with you. Nothing is too hard for God. I just want people not to be as hard-headed as I've been sometimes. Listen to what God has to say and act on it, especially where relationships are concerned. It can be difficult sometimes to have to go to somebody when you know you have to apologize and you don't feel like doing it because they made you mad too. But listen to God when he's urging you to repair that relationship, because realistically, life is too short to waste on trifling things or silly things. I mean, there's more important things to worry about than who looked at whose girlfriend and who said this and what you said about my mama 10 years ago. This stuff is not as important as we make it out to be.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can I say something, guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are, besides the four of us, there are five other Arthurs in Home Again. And I would love it if readers would go to Micah 6 and 8 books, and you can read the bio and learn more about the other Arthurs. We have Trinea Moss, who is Bjorn's wife. Trinea. Moss. Her first
Gotta
story.
Eat
okay. Her first story is in there. You have Tyora Moody. She's also a debut Arthur. And Tavares Carney. And as well as veterans Linda Bede and Bernard Bolton. So you can learn more about these people, and they've all had vast experiences in relationships.
Awesome. Awesome. Brian?
Wow. I'm actually out there friending everybody on Facebook if you wonder. Brian J. Henderson. But I want to say that we thank you all for coming on the show. I mean, I've been blown away by some of the comments tonight, and I know that everyone that has been listening or definitely have been blessed by your presence. And, you know, we thank God for you. We thank you for, you know, just spending just a little bit of time with us and, you know, and our listeners. You know, so from I know from Greg and from myself and on behalf of the Abundant Solutions Hour, we really, really appreciate you all joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much for having us.
Yes, please continue blessing everybody because you really blessed us tonight.
Thank you. You really did. Thank you.
Yeah, what you guys are doing is so needed. It is really needed.
Absolutely. You know, I want to end the show by just talking a little bit about this thing called relationships. You know, when we think about the word relationship, the one thing that many people fail to ascertain from that word is the key word, relate.
Mm.
You know, they find one little small thing that they can relate to and, you know, they run with it. Not realizing that a relationship, you know, you can't build a ship with one board. You have to have many pieces to that board, you know, in order to build that ship. So that, you know, you have to find these things that you can relate to. And they're not just this one thing. Oh, I like ice cream and she likes ice cream and both of us like vanilla. Here's our, now we're compatible, you know, or this person is my favorite, you know, artist, and that's your favorite artist. Hey, we can be friends. No, there are many different pieces to a relationship. That's why they call it a relationship, because it's relational. You know, when you think about computers, you can't build a relational database with two things that relate to each other. No, it's multidimensional, as in all relationships. They should be multidimensional, multifaceted.
Yes.
You know, if you can't find more than five or six things that you have in common with that person, you don't have anything in common with that person.
Okay. Now it's time for his offering.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I like the way he broke that down.
Amen.
All right. So that's my 10 cents for tonight. And with that being said, you all have been listening to The Abundant Solutions Hour. We thank you for joining us tonight. We ask that you please join us again next week as we'll have another wonderful and exciting and informative show. Good evening to you all. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.